Thanks a lot, Chris and Amanda. Well, it is. So I like to go through all the way to the back of the of our Google Doc and see what you have on here. And I know you said earlier we didn't have much mace,
there's
but we do.
There's not a lot on there.
There's some stuff here, and I want to know about them. So have you ever eaten at a Michelin-starred restaurant?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Momo, have you ever eaten
at a
Michelin-starred restaurant?
Maybe I have. Maybe I have and maybe I haven't, but I didn't go there thinking it was Michelin-starred.
So apparently there's this group, and I think it's the same guys that do the tires also rate restaurants. Is that true?
Really?
Isn't Michelin the same people that do the tires now rate restaurants?
I think so.
Random.
I mean, if you're rating something.
They give out stars to restaurants if they're really, really fancy, fine restaurants. Now, I don't think I've ever eaten at a Michelin star restaurant. I'm sure they're all incredibly expensive. Do you know any Michelin star restaurants in Los Angeles?
No.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. They make it a big deal. If you watch those food shows, like Momo, you watch a lot of those Top Chef, and they're always like, well, this guy's from, he's got 3 Michelin stars at the such and such bourgeois, whatever it is. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's fancy. I don't know if we have any Michelin stars.
There are 27
really?
Michelin starred restaurants in L.A. This one's 2 stars. It's Hayato.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That one's not.
How about Red Chicks?
That is not Melisse.
Not star this time.
I don't know that one.
Yeah.
Let's see. N/Naka. I've never even heard of
this.
Okay. So here's the thing. The beauty of Los Angeles is that you can get food, really good food, for not a lot of money. Like you don't need to go to. And I don't know, do you think the place out in Malibu that I went to, what's that
Nobu?
Place? Fancy? Yeah, Nobu. Do you think they've got a Michelin star? Are they listed there? Because that was the most expensive meal I've ever paid
for. What about Cut? Have you been to Cut in Beverly Hills?
I have been to Cut. That's so got a Michelin star?
That is a Michelin starred restaurant.
Really?
Okay, so Cut is a good steakhouse, yeah. So, but I think you can eat really well for not a lot of money. I don't think you need to go to fancy places. Like, I'm glad I went to Nobu one time. It was a ridiculously expensive meal, and they were, like, thin slices of fish with some syrup or something on top, and they'd bring plate after plate of these things.
Reduction
and
sauce.
You'd eat these, little slices of fish.
Yeah.
And it tasted delicious. But I was really full after. I was still really hungry afterwards. So I think that you can eat well for not a lot of money in L.A. If you've got a Michelin star, congratulations.
You want seafood? Go to Mexican Mariscos place. There you go.
Okay.
Ceviche. Get some ceviche.
I mean,
ceviche.
I went on vacation to France one year, and it was like that area, the south of France, where you're like everything is gonna. I think that's where that movie was filmed. What's the movie I'm talking about? The something
a movie
walk.
Filmed in the south of France.
No, it's about the guy who becomes a Michelin chef. Oh man, I can see. Hold on, I'll find it. Anyway, I wanted to go. I was like, let's go do the foodie stuff. Let's go to a Michelin star restaurant. And I went to the guy at my hotel and I said, "Is this a good restaurant? It was nearby. It's got 2 Michelin stars." And he goes, "No, this is all just like overpriced stuff. And just go to these local places and they'll do the price fix menu for you. And it's way more economical, but just as good."
How do you get the star rating for that? Like, is that because there's a process? Does it say how do you get it?
I think secret diners go, like their judges go in and like they pretend
mystery shoppers
like they're just
thing?
Anybody and
oh yeah, okay. So it's
Hold
on, it's the I might actually click on it. Something about the journey. What is this? Afrin? What something? The
I don't
journey.
Know. I think the movie's inconsequential.
Okay, but people know it.
People know it, okay.
By the way, if you want good ceviche, Jorge has the best ceviche.
Jorge makes great ceviche.
Why don't you bring it? Can you bring some in before we go to the new year?
All right, yeah, I'll try that.
Yeah, bring in some ceviche. Yeah. Bring some in next week.
Good.
Momo's going to be here. Momo, have you ever had Jorge ceviche?
No, but I can now because last time you brought it, I was
right,
pregnant. I couldn't do it.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's delicious. It's delicious.
Bobcat.
All right, the next thing that's on here is something. You have Mace, go to the bottom of the page of 330. It says, "Is loneliness a public health problem?"
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you like being alone, but the Washington Post says it's a huge problem.
Okay, so this is interesting. What's funny is Ireland originally forwarded this story. And the way he phrased it was, is loneliness a public health problem? I like being alone, but the Washington Post says it's a huge problem. Now, there's a difference between being okay alone and being lonely, right? Like, I'll go to a movie by myself. I'm not lonely.
Uh-huh.
I'm choosing to do something by myself. there are a lot of people, I think, who are in the position where they are actually lonely. We are very disconnected. We connect with each other on text and online and not in person anymore. I think people miss the interaction with other people. I know that when we were doing the show from home for 2 years during the pandemic, yeah. I felt completely cut off from the world, completely cut off. And I like going to the studio. I'm home today, but I like going to the studio because I get to mix with other people. I get to interact. That's where a lot of stories from the show come from. I mean, all that stuff. So I do think loneliness is a huge problem.
I think it's totally a problem. Because it's easy to just stay home and be alone. We all kind of, I don't know if we got good at it during the pandemic, but we learned how to be alone or be home by ourselves and not go out. And some people were better at it than others. Like, there are times when I was good at it. I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. And then when I had to start talking to people again, I just found it exhausting. I'd be out in the world and I was like, God, why am I so tired? Oh, I was talking to people again, right?
Yeah.
That takes a lot out of you. But I think humans are social animals, and I think that we get depressed, and I think we get weird, and it's not good to just be home all the time. I think you have to force yourself to get out, even if it's just like go to the market.
Or mix with people.
Yeah, go to Starbucks. Go to where, and you know what, they do have the peppermint mochas again.
Oh, so thank God.
It's back, thank goodness. Yeah. So the supply chain came back.
By
the way, it was The 100-Foot Journey. That's the movie I was thinking of, The 100-Foot Journey.
100-Foot Journey, okay, got it. Okay. Bergman, you think loneliness is a public health problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everything you're saying is right. It is. It was a lot of times where
weird.
I go home now more often than I used to. Like, I would want to stay out and I want to go see friends.
Yeah.
I want to go do whatever. Like, maybe even just go to a bar or something like that. Now, the show's over, I finish up some work, and I go home. And I don't want to do anything.
So you don't go out at night?
I mean, I do if I have something to
do.
You
might just be old, though.
Well, there's a lot of that.
There is an element of, I think the older you get, the less likely you are to go out at night.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
I get
true.
To work so early, and I'm just like,
that's part of it. I have kids now, so I'm less likely to go out at night, too.
Yeah.
I do like to go for a walk at
night.
You
used to be up until 2, 3 in the morning, regularly.
I'm still up pretty late, but not that late. I'm still like 12 or 1 now.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
Don't worry, I'm a stoner. Oh, great, great.
Yeah.
All right, so how are you guys with wrapping gifts for the holidays?
Pretty good.
Yeah? You like doing it?
I don't like it, but I can do it.
Okay, so I found this funny story. A mom accidentally wraps Christmas presents with X-rated wrapping
paper. Whoa!
Oh, man.
Yeah, so she went online and bought wrapping paper, and then she noticed that it had, like, snowmen and, like, different cartoons. Like, I'll send you guys the story.
Oh, boy.
Okay. But luckily, she didn't wrap it for her kids. She found out it was X-rated wrapping paper when she wrap two presents for
my
husband.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
No. So I'll send you guys a story. But you guys love wrapping paper. I mean, wrapping presents. So, yeah. I can't do it. I usually go to the mall and pay for the
do
wrapping.
You really?
Yeah.
Do you?
Like,
yeah.
I got two words for you.
Yeah, what is it?
Gift bag.
Yeah, gift true bag that is a great way to go.
Gift bags, and then you put little the crepe paper
like
in there.
Bow on it.
No, no, no. You put the little paper, like, get some colored, what's a thin paper? Is it crepe paper?
Tissue paper.
Tissue paper, yeah.
No, what?
And you put it in there, and then it looks pretty good.
What I used to do as a gaff, I would just take newspaper.
Yeah.
And wrap any.
Yeah, it's good.
And then just hand it over the box.
I actually, as part of fundraisers when I was in high school, would be one of those people at the mall who would wrap your presents.
Oh, really? That was that's a good gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm terrible at
wrapping. I didn't make any money. I was just part of the fundraiser, so
I'm
good
super,
at wrapping.
I'm super bad at doing it. If I do it, it's going to be paid for. Juan's birthday presents, both were, I just handed him packages that I'd gotten, had been delivered to the house. I'm like, here's your gifts. I'm not a wrapping gifts person. And, you know, we've gotten further and further away from
totally
even giving gifts.
Me
like,
too.
How many gifts do you give?
I mean, I used to do it. I used to really make a big production of it, and now I'm like nothing. Like, I'm lucky. Like, Nevin and I
but you have
even
kids, so there's going to be lots of presents for the kids.
But you know what my problem is now? I just, whatever I want to get them, I get them on Amazon when I want to give it to them. I don't necessarily even, like, want to get it all. And then they already have too much stuff.
Right.
I'm trying to downsize and declutter.
Yeah.
Marie Kondo
that's
style.
That's not easy.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think, we've gotten away. Like, Juan and I don't exchange Christmas gifts or anniversary gifts. We do birthday gifts. That's it. I'll buy for my brother, my mom, and not stepdad Leo, and that's it.
That's it.
Those are three gifts.
Yeah,
that's all I do.
We're now at a point where we only give gifts to the kids.
Yeah, same here.
Yes.
The kids, and that's it. I don't give anything to my brother, my mom, anybody. It just goes to the kids.
He has a baby,
goes to Riley, that's it.
Now, are you guys, do you open Christmas night, or I'm sorry, Christmas Eve or Christmas morning?
Hanukkah the first night.
Oh, Hanukkah the first night.
We do both. We do Hanukkah and Christmas.
You do Christmas also? Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a tree and everything.
Really?
Because so my dad was not Jewish. My mom is Jewish.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why my last name is Shelburne. It doesn't. My mom's last name was like Steinman. That's
Steinman?
Why, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Totally that's different.
Extremely Jewish. Yeah, but, like Bergman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we always did Hanukkah and Christmas. So that I know. Like, I thought that was great because my dad yeah, grew both. Up celebrating Christmas and not super religious or anything, but they grew up celebrating Christmas. So we just do both. And it was kind of sad. Like, Nevin only did Hanukkah, and he always remembered feeling sad on Christmas because he didn't get presents.
So you're half Christmas, and so you celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, we celebrate it by getting a tree and presents.
Yeah, yeah.
Bert, don't go to church or anything.
You don't even get a tree?
No, full Jewish, so that there's no reason for
full
me to get a tree.
Full Jewish.
Yeah, I know, like, a lot of Jews, though, who do the Christmas trees for their kids.
Yeah, there are a lot of Jewish folks I know do Christmas trees.
No,
yeah.
we used to put up the blue and white lights to make it look.
Nevin did a Christmas tree for the kids this year. I'll send you the video of him, of Danny singing it the other day.
Oh, nice.
It's like really, and the baby's like mesmerized by it. He just goes over by, like, Jacob just goes over to the tree the whole time and just wants to grab the leaves, the pine bristles.
Yeah, yep.
Right? And the lights, it's like the greatest entertainment right now.
We had a Star of David that
yeah,
was
I got
kind
both.
Of like a tree, but, yeah. It, you know, we'd wrap stuff around it, you know, different things to make it look
when does
festive.
Hanukkah start this year?
Late. It's late.
November 18th?
No, Sunday. No. Not
sorry,
November.
December.
Yeah, it's late.
December 18th. November 18th.
December
18th. Really
18th.
December
so
18th.
It'll actually, one of the nights of Hanukkah will be Christmas,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That works out well.
Yeah, that does work out well.
It is sad when you're a little Jewish kid, you don't get Christmas, and everybody else is doing it. It's kind of sad.
I never cared.
Yeah.
Also, I was like,
maybe that's why you don't have any empathy.
Yeah, it's true. But also, I mean, I lived in an area that was 90% Jewish. So
me too.
Know. Yeah. Oh, no, that's true. You did. We were in the same. Right, we live in the same area. Sorry,
we know where his
lack
of empathy comes from. Right.
we're Valley kids.
Yeah.
The Jewish kids.
What else you got?
Okay, last one here. I got something that says, "Mace, morning people are smarter."
Yeah, this is super bad news for me.
Me too.
So
I don't believe it either. I think that's what morning people say to make them feel good about themselves.
This is a study that says morning people are smarter than people who sleep in. Early risers have higher verbal intelligence.
Nope.
You don't believe that's true?
Nope.
Not at all. I'm an early
riser.
Completely
untrue.
No, early risers have higher verbal intelligence.
Yeah,
that would be a good thing if you get up early.
Do you think I have
I
a higher verbal
true.
Intelligence?
No, you make a point.
Yeah,
I think night owls are more creative, and they tend to be like people who like early morning risers. To me, are people who are follow the rules more. They get up when they're supposed to. They're more, and then I think night owls are contrarians.
Is that what you think? So, yeah. Are you now a night owl or a
still a night owl?
Still a night owl.
Yeah.
And you sleep in.
I can't sleep in anymore, so I just get less sleep.
What time do you sleep till? Like, what's your average sleep night?
Okay, my average, well, if I'm a good sleep night now, is
yeah,
I go
good
to sleep.
Sleep night.
I go to sleep around 12, and I get up around 7:30.
That's good. 7.5 hours? That's
yeah,
good.
But most of the time, it turns into somewhere, it's closer to 1.
Bergman, what's your average
I have a hard time
night?
Falling asleep at night.
It's average sleep. I go to sleep around 10, and I wake up around 6. So that's a
okay.
pretty decent amount.
That's pretty normal.
It's 8 hours.
Pretty normal.
Maybe a little
Jorge,
less,
what about
seven?
You?
About 5 to 6 hours.
It's only 5 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, he works
see,
a lot.
I need 10 hours of sleep. I need
jeez.
10 hours of sleep. I
10
got to.
Hours.
I got to. I love me sleep.
That's like 40% of your day. Think about
sleep,
that. 24 hours.
You know what? It's the most valuable 40% of the day. Is it 40% of
think
the day?
Think about that.
That's probably too much.
Is that right? Did I do that math right?
10 hours? 24 hours a day? 10 hours? That's more.
Well, half would be 22. Yeah. Oh, sorry, would be 12. So yeah, I thought.
Oh,
I was,
so it's almost yeah, it's
almost
getting closer to half.
Yeah,
I just did a quick math. I didn't really do the math. I just kind of guesstimated.
Yeah, no, I do like I do like sleep. I do like sleep. I tend to sleep from about 11 at night to about 8 in the morning.
Ooh,
so long. It's
I
way
love
too
to sleep
long.
In. Love
I have
to
a
sleep
really
in.
I'm really bad at going to sleep at night. I have a hard time letting the day go.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah. All right, there you have it. There's your Bobcat. Coming up next for you, I have got some mythical money bets that I want to make, Bergman. I've only got how much money?
You only have, $4,000.
$4,000. I'm going to bet three of it today.
Oh, wow.
Three of it today. I feel good about these bets. We will do that coming up next for you. And then at 2:30, voice of the Trojans, Pete Arbogast, will join us. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Mason and Ireland Mafia, our community for the show, they always correct me when I'm wrong. Apparently, the Netherlands were not in the last World Cup. I said they were big floppers 4 years ago. Apparently, it was the year before. And somebody says, Mason really knows soccer. No, I don't know. I don't know soccer. Does anybody, Jorge, you know soccer.
Right.
Bergman, what's your soccer knowledge like?
Oh, no, this is an every 4 years thing. I can follow a
you can follow
group
for
stage.
A month.
Yeah, I'm really good at following what the bracket has.
Yeah, you're good at that. Momo, do you follow soccer on a regular basis?
No.
This is for everybody, it's a 4 years.
I just jump on the bandwagon for every 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, every 4 years.
But I like soccer. I played growing up. I like it. I don't really, you know.
It's fun. It's fun. And one other thing, yes, the Michelin tire company is the one that started the Michelin stars.
That's crazy.
It started to promote travel.
That is
hence,
nuts.
It's the Michelin tires.
Hey, Mace, I'm going to send you guys a picture here. I want you to, I told Greg this during the break, but you know, you're home. So last night I went to the temple where Daniel goes to preschool and we did a challah bake.
Okay.
Okay.
I you remember you talking about the challah bake last year. Yes.
Yeah. And it was, this time it was much better because I like know people now.
It's a bread, right?
Yeah. Challah is the bread we eat on Shabbat. Well, anytime really.
Yeah.
And I was going to bring it in. I made a chocolate chip challah. It's my first time ever making one.
Mm.
So I had never made it. But it's like the classic looked really good. But then when I tasted it,
yeah,
super bland. It's like way too much flour, not enough egg or butter or something. And I thought about it. I was like, I have this beautiful looking challah that I made.
Oh, wait. I saw a picture of it. That looks great.
Doesn't that look great?
Yeah,
it's
really
good. It's like a braid of
yeah,
bread.
I braided it and everything. I can't even believe I did that.
But came out bland?
Bland. Like I had to like heat it up and put butter on it. And it still tasted bland to me.
Still tasted bland.
So I thought Jorge's probably never had a challah. Have you ever had a challah?
Never.
You weren't here today. And I was like, I don't think I should bring this in. I don't think your first taste of challah should be bland chocolate chip challah that I made.
Well, let's have a
I'm going to make one next week. I'll make one
next
week.
Yeah, let's have a
holiday next
week.
Bringing your Men in Black shirt.
Okay,
your man in black.
Yes.
I ordered it on Amazon for you yesterday.
Oh, did you really? You got my... So I'm going to start dressing in black for the new
I got one mock turtleneck, like Steve Jobs style.
Perfect.
So what day are you bringing this in? So I can bring in the ceviche the same day.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we're going to eat.
Ceviche and challah, one big meal?
Yeah.
You want to do Thursday?
All right, Thursday works.
Okay.
Thursday it is. Okay. Excellent.
All right, so
ceviche and challah, that's like some interesting fusion.
Oh, can I bring something?
Right? Well, I mean, I don't want to bring something in, but I will bring something
are
in.
Are you going to bring something in, Bergman?
No. If you do, I will. But if you don't, I won't.
Eggplant
okay, yes,
something.
I'm going to commit to bringing something in.
All right, you got to tell me what
I'm going to do. Are we all going to do it on the same day, or are we going
to... Well, if we're all making something, then we have to actually make something.
No. I'd rather you guys buy something.
No. I can make. I make a really good eggplant parmesan.
That's
my one thing.
Okay.
I can make like pancakes.
Ceviche is good. I mean, we don't need anything else.
Okay.
Oh, Jorge's like, yeah, I don't want your eggplant parmesan.
So,
I don't want your
challah. We got like a Mexican Jewish
exactly. Yeah, it is. It is a very weird Italian. It's like a very mixed.
Just well, very
we'll
LA.
Well, we don't need the.
It's a very LA.
We'll figure out the
here.
Specifics later. Right. But next week, I heard Travis brought. I was bummed I didn't get to try Travis Rogers' chili.
Is it like a leftover chili?
No, I didn't get to try it. I was like, yeah. Oh man, I didn't get to try. They all had.
Everybody seemed to like it.
It also had beans in it, so it's not real chili. Yeah. So it's a whole thing.
What kind of challah do you guys want? You want chocolate chip challah? Do you want cinnamon raisin? Challah, what kind do you want?
Chocolate chip sounds good.
Chocolate chip?
Yeah, I say chocolate chip.
All right.
Chocolate chip challah is the best of all the challahs.
It's really good.
Mm. Okay.
What if my second challah isn't good though? What if I bring it in and it's also bland?
We'll pretend it's good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, do you want honesty or just to make you feel good?
No, honesty. I'll know.
Bring it on Tuesday. You'll find out.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, bring it on Tuesday. Yeah. Then you get a real.
You bring it on Tuesday. I bring ceviche on Thursday.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. So I want to make a couple mythical money bets this weekend. The Rams, of course, are home to the Seattle Seahawks.
No, you're not putting money on the Rams.
Seattle is -7. Now, I came across this interesting Rams nugget that I found surprising. And if you want to know why the Rams have, why it's gone down the way it has, this is it. And this is not meant to be an excuse. It's just bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
14 offensive linemen have taken at least one offensive snap for the 2022 Rams. That is through only 11 games, and it's already tied for the second most in the last 10 years. 14 different offensive linemen have taken a snap this year. Not meant to be an excuse, but that's why they've struggled. More than anything else, that's why they've struggled. It's funny, I asked McVay that question about last year's offensive line, and he quickly said, yeah, we lost Austin Corbett for 2 games, and we lost Andrew Whitworth for 2 games, and that was it. They played 7 total offensive linemen last year. They've already played twice that number this year, and who knows what. And by the way, if you're a Rams fan, John Wolford is going to start on Sunday over Bryce Perkins. So the Rams are +7 versus the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, my goodness, you're not doing this.
And I will pass.
Oh, thank goodness. I was going to say, you're going to be down to 3K real fast.
I will pass. Okay, so I've got 3 bets. Number 1, give me the Trojans -2.5 over the Utes tonight. I actually think they win this game in convincing enough fashion.
There you go.
They have a chance to sneak past TCU into the 3 spot, I think, in the college football playoff, because Utah is number 12 in the CFP numbers right now. So give me the Trojans -2.5. Give me the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a great game. Cincinnati Bengals +1.5 over the Kansas City Chiefs, which would be pretty astounding, because I think Patrick Mahomes has something like never lost a game in the months of November and December. He's like always hot. But Joe Burrow has been really hot. So give me Cincy +1.5. And Jorge, this one's for you. Give me Tua and the Miami Dolphins +4 over San Francisco at Levi Stadium. So Miami +4. Miami is my sneaky Super Bowl pick this year. I just got a hunch about
So you're going to be down to 3K by the end of this. Because you're going to get
you
USC.
Say which ones am I going to lose?
You're going to win USC. I actually think you're going to win that one.
Excellent.
You're going to lose the Bengals because the Chiefs are going to win that, because Patrick Mahomes doesn't lose in December. And I don't think you're going to win the Miami one either. San Francisco looks fantastic.
Momo, what do you think? Am I making money or losing money?
I actually would have taken the Rams at -7. I like home dogs.
Rams +7?
Yeah, +7, yeah. I would have taken the Rams there.
I don't know. Have you seen any Rams games?
Do the Rams.
I have. But, I mean, home dogs.
Wolford.
It's okay.
John Wolford.
It's not like the Seahawks are blowing the doors off people. They're winning, but they're not.
They're 7-4.
I know, but not.
We're 3-8.
Okay, I would actually take the Rams with that money.
You can. Do you want to put money on it?
Yeah, $5,000 on the Rams with that +7.
Rams +7.
Okay, there you go.
I like Momo's attitude about it.
I don't think they're going to win, but 7's a big number at home.
7's a big number, yeah. And and it's Wolf.
Aaron Donald not playing.
No Aaron Donald. No Matthew Stafford.
No offensive line.
There's the Wolf. Hungry like the Wolf. John Wolford.
Almost won a playoff game one time.
Yes, he did. All right, coming up next for you, voice of the Trojans, guy I worked with for a long time doing USC games, Pete Arbogast, is going to join us just an hour and a half before kickoff in Vegas. USC playing for the Pac-12 championship against the 12th-rated Utah Utes. Pete is next for you here on the exclusive unofficial home of Trojans football, Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are just an hour and a half away from USC Trojans football. Trojans take on Utah, 12th-rated team according to the college football playoff. USC is currently number 4 in the CFP. A win will cinch a spot in the college football playoff, And it is an unbelievable turnaround for USC football. The fact that Carol Folt and Mike Bone were able to pull a rabbit out of their hat and out of the blue, really, hire Lincoln Riley when nobody was talking about it last year at this time has led to potentially the Trojans being in the college football playoff. It might be one of the great turnarounds in college sports history, Momo. We were 4-8 last year.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And, especially the way he did it, where it was just everything through the transfer portal. Usually takes a while for teams to come together.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is sort of the template I think we're going to see teams use from this point forward with NIL. There is going to be a lot of player movement. And you know what? I'm okay with that. If the players have an opportunity to make some money for their efforts, then I think they should. And it does. The downside is every player is a free agent. At any point, anybody can step into the transfer portal and go to any other school. That's what happened with Jordan Addison. That's what happened with Travis Dye, with Caleb Williams, with Mario Williams, and on down the list. Do you have any issue with that, Momo, the fact that players are instant free agents?
I don't think I do. I didn't really love this, you know, the free agency style of college football, because I played in a non-revenue sport where I saw the other side of that, which is, you know, people would be on scholarship and they would, the ones that they were like year-to-year scholarships, and some people would be counting on that money and then they just wouldn't get renewed. So
yeah.
I don't love that, but I think this is where it is now. I don't ever fight progress, and I think it's probably good that you're able to move around when you're not able to play, because especially in college football, if you don't get it, I know so many good high school players who go to a school, it just doesn't work out, they get stuck behind somebody else.
Right.
And a guy who maybe could have ended up in the NFL or professionally someplace, CFL, whatever, it just doesn't play. And then they never move forward. So I think it's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Turn this up, Jorge. Let's go, Utes.
What are we doing?
Let's go, Utes.
You can't be doing this.
Let's go, Utes.
You are the least popular man in Los Angeles.
It's unofficial.
Totally fine with that.
Unofficial.
I am the unofficial producer of the Utah Utes.
That is ridiculous. I wish I was there so I could press some buttons. I don't have any controls over the show right now. Kill the Utah Utes fight song.
Come on,
Utes. Who even knew what it was? Oh, God. Jorge, why do you participate in this?
I don't have control of the button on that one.
Oh, is that Bergman running that?
You started off by telling him to talk more.
Yeah, but I didn't expect him to play the Utah fight song.
And I could play the...
Get out of here with this. Is my old friend Pete Arbogast
not picking up the phone?
No,
he's not answering, and I texted too. Sorry, Pete. I tried to
Come
get
on,
you.
Come on, man.
I still try to get you, Pete. He said yes, but he's not answering.
Did he say yes?
He said yes earlier, but...
I'll tell you what, can we do this? Can we break early, get Game of Games and Pete in the next segment?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Okay, right, cool.
Just make the reads.
We'll do that. We'll get a quick break. Then when we come back, we'll do Game of Games. It's Momo's game today, and we hope to have Pete Arbogast, voice of the USC Trojans, here on the exclusive, unofficial home of USC Trojan football. Mason, stop it. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. What am I supposed to read here, guys?
Estrella
Jalisco, of course. So Estrella Jalisco, one of our proud sponsors. They are one of the sponsors of FIFA World Cup on ESPN. It's presented by Estrella Jalisco. Stay tuned to ESPN LA every night for the Road to the Cup show, hosted by Voice of LAFC, Dave Denholm. Dave will give you a deep dive into the World Cup's most exciting matchups, in-depth analysis of the action in Qatar, all the drama that is the world's game. Estrella Jalisco, proud supporters of Team Mexico. Enjoy your World Cup with an Estrella Jalisco beer in hand. Enjoy responsibly. Estrella Jalisco, St. Louis, Missouri. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is time for Game of Games. It is Momo's game today. It is brought to you by our friend Jacob Imrani. Remember to call Jacob.com in the event of any kind of accident. He is your guy. And let's see, Ireland is joining us from Milwaukee.
Hey,
Ireland, what's
right.
up, man?
What's going on, people? How are you?
Well, just a little mini show, just a little screwing around on a Friday, getting ready for a big weekend. How are you feeling about tonight?
I think it would be their biggest win of the year if they could pull it off.
Yes, it would be. I heard Chris Middleton's coming back, right?
Oh,
yes.
Great.
For the first time all year, just
in
time.
For the first time all year, right in the nick
right.
of time. Yeah. All right. It is Momo's game today, Ireland, and I'll play. Bergman will play. Jorge will play. Momo won the very first game of December yesterday.
Way to go, Momo.
Yeah.
So she's on the board. Momo, describe the game.
Okay, well, I knew we'd be talking a lot of USC and Utah, so I have a little true-false.
Okay.
These are facts about California and Utah, okay?
Okay.
True or false? Real easy. Okay?
Yes.
Start us off. We have 9 questions and a tiebreaker. Ready?
Okay. Yep, ready.
California contains both the highest and lowest points in the contiguous United States. Is that true or false? Mason?
I will say false. Bergman?
Bergman?
False.
Jorge?
False.
Ireland?
True.
Ireland is correct. Mount Whitney and Death Valley. Mount Whitney and Death Valley.
Okay.
All right. Who's keeping score, by the way?
I got it.
All right. Okay.
Ireland's won.
Salt Lake City has more plastic surgeons per capita than any other city in the United States. Is that true or false? Bergman.
False.
Jorge.
True.
Ireland.
True.
And Mason.
I'm going false.
The answer is true.
Really?
More plastic surgeons per capita than any other city.
If you people would only watch the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
I thought they'd be more up north in California.
Ireland 2, Jorge 1.
If you watch that show, that would have been easy.
California is the second largest state by area in the United States. Is that true or false? Jorge.
I'll say false.
Ireland.
False.
Mason.
I'll say true.
And Bergman.
False.
The answer is false. It is the third largest state by area behind Texas and
here.
Alaska.
Ireland 3, Jorge 2, Bergman 1.
Okay. In Utah, there's a town called Levan, L-E-V-A-N. Levan is naval backwards, and Levan is the center or the navel of Utah. Is that true or false? Ireland.
That's a lot of work for you to make it up. I'll say it's true.
Okay. Mason?
True.
Bergman?
True.
And Jorge?
I'll say false.
The answer is true.
Ireland has yet to lose a point here. He's up 4-2-2-1.
All right. Fifth question. At least half of the fresh fruit produced in the United States comes from California. Is that true or false? Mason?
True.
Bergman?
True.
Jorge?
True.
And Ireland.
You're saying half of the fresh fruit in the whole country comes from California?
At least half.
False.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is actually true. At least half of the fresh fruit produced in the U.S. comes from California. Wow.
Okay, so Ireland finally misses one.
Okay. What's our count?
Ireland 4, Jorge 3, Bergman 3, Mason 2.
I only have Bergman with 2.
No, I have 3.
Yeah, he's got 3.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Utah's state flag features sago lilies, a symbol of peace, and the year 1896, the year Utah became the 45th state. Is that true or false? Bergman.
True.
Jorge.
False.
Mason.
I'm going to say true.
And Ireland.
I'll say true.
The answer is false. It also has the year 1847, the date Mormon settlers arrived in Utah.
Jorge has now tied Ireland. Ireland 4,
Let's go.
Jorge 4,
Let's go,
Bergman 3, Mason 2.
California has more forest land than any other state besides Alaska. Nearly 45% of California's land area is covered by forests. Is that true or false? I think it's Jorge now.
I'll say false.
Ireland?
True.
Mason?
I'm going true.
And Bergman?
I need to make up a point, right? So false.
The answer is true.
Ah,
I'm out.
That's a lot of forest here.
Yeah,
that's a lot of forest, man.
You were like Kramer on Seinfeld in the contest episode. I'm out.
We got 2 more questions. 2 more questions.
Okay, it's Ireland 5, Jorge 4.
Okay.
All right, I should go first on these last two moments so Jorge can catch up.
Right. Utah is the only state whose capital is 3 words long. Is that true or false? Ireland.
3 words long. I used to know capitals so well. I'll say it's true.
Mason?
I'll say false.
And Jorge?
That was true.
False.
Oh, I thought you were
Greg
done.
Says
no,
false.
I don't know. I'm just answering.
I thought
don't
you
worry,
quit.
Says false. What's the right answer?
The answer's true. Can you think of any other state capitals that have 3 letters?
Boom.
3 words?
Say goodnight, Briones.
Okay, you want the last one?
Yep, yeah, sure. 6-5. Go ahead. It's just between Ireland and Jorge.
No, Jorge missed that.
Yeah, I missed it. No, I got it right.
No, he got it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you ready? You ready?
So
and I do have a tiebreaker.
Okay. All right, I'll go first, George.
Okay, ready? The first ever KFC wasn't in Kentucky, but San Bernardino, where one of Colonel Sanders' sons lived. Is that true or false? Ireland.
I'm going to go true.
Okay. Jorge?
No, that is false.
That is false.
Yes.
Oh, yes. It's all time.
The first one was actually opened in Salt Lake City. Did you know that?
Oh,
there's,
no.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't in Kentucky.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's
right. His friend was opened the first one. Okay.
Okay, so
this
Jorge
is a really dumb
Ireland.
Tiebreaker. I'm sorry. I forgot to do this until just now, so I just came up with a dumb one. Okay.
Okay.
The current population of Salt Lake City, closest, we're just going to say closest. We're not going to say without going over. Okay,
got it.
The current population of Salt Lake City.
Who goes first?
Who wants to go first?
Ireland.
Ireland.
Okay.
Okay. Man. I got to give you a number that you...
Don't worry. I'm a stoner.
Oh, God. Come on. I'll go... Oh, God. 200,000.
Okay.
Jorge?
200,001.
I guess Jorge wins.
Yes!
You're like, Jorge!
Salt Lake City, you think there's only 200,000 people in Salt Lake City?
Am I wrong?
There's like 1.192, so like 1.2 million.
Wait, in the city?
Yeah, the current metro area population of Salt Lake City.
Okay.
The 1. Metro 2. Area.
Now I actually am going to Google. But yeah.
Well, I just Googled it. There's the population of Salt Lake City in 2021 is 200,478.
Okay, so I Googled.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wait. Hold on. So I found the first thing that came up when I did it. Mine just says metro area. Maybe
Greg,
the...
Greg, say that number again.
200,478. So
Jorge still wins.
Jorge wins anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't
matter. Mine says metro. Mine is a metro area, and yours is the actual city. So mine's like suburbs probably also.
I thought it was either like 100,000 or 200,000. I just did 200,000 to try and make them to go under.
That's so small.
Yeah, well, I mean, the population of Los Angeles County is like 14 million, but the city's not that big.
Don't worry, I'm a stoner.
Okay.
That's what happened on the show.
Either way, Jorge won.
Yeah, Jorge wins either way.
Yeah.
Jorge gets the point. All right, Pete Arbogast, I think, is going to call in right now. Call him up, Bergen.
Do you want me to pretend I'm Pete until he calls in?
Oh, there he is. I like that.
How do you do?
There you go. He loves that, I'm sure. Do I have Pete checking in? All right, cool. Hey, Pete, how are you, man? Welcome, Pete.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, sorry it's a little late. We got stuck. They actually wanded and sent everybody through screening here at the stadium.
Oh, wow. Well, it's me, it's Ireland, it's Momo. The whole gang is here. We're all getting ready for the Pac-12 championship game tonight. First of all, you know, I listened to you when I was in the parking lot at the Rose Bowl after the USC-UCLA game, and you talked about the amazing turnaround, how a year ago we were 4-8 and got blown out by UCLA. Are you surprised by how successful Lincoln Riley has gotten this fast?
Maybe a little, but at the start of the season, you know, we have a meeting in our radio production, and we go around the room and kind of predict what's going to happen. And I thought the team would go 9-1 into UCLA and Notre Dame. I believed that they were going to lose to UCLA based on what the Bruins had coming back and the mishmash of a team that we had at the start of the season. So I didn't think we'd be in this game. But 10-2, 9-3, 11-1 were possibilities to me.
Hey, Pete, I think, and this is a little prisoner of the moment of me probably, but I think Caleb Williams is the best USC quarterback I've ever seen. You've seen them all. Matt Leinart was better in terms of accomplishment. He has a better resume, and he's playing for national titles every year. But the combination of Caleb's running ability, his decision-making, and the way he throws the ball, I think he's the best quarterback I've ever seen as a Trojan. Is that hyperbole on my part?
No, not at all. Best dual threat for sure. Rodney Pete comes to mind, but this guy is different. And remember, he's only a sophomore. He's 2 years out of high school. He throws the ball very well. He makes great decisions, although he didn't at the start of this season. He learned as he went along a little bit more than he knew already. And his ability, his escapability is just ridiculous. So, yeah, okay, Leinart wins two national championships and a Heisman Trophy. So you got to make him, on resume, he's the best. But this is the best guy on the field I've ever seen.
Hey, Pete, how well has USC traveled to this game? Are you, you're in Vegas. Obviously, you can feel the scene there.
Yeah, I we were only in one hotel, and we take the bus. They sold all their seats. I talked to the ticket guy yesterday, who's a good friend of mine. He said they were down to 100, and then this morning they were gone. This is supposedly a sellout. I talked to Bill Riley, the Utah play-by-play guy, and he said last year this game, Utah and Oregon, was about a 90% full. And, you know, when we went up to Santa Clara and played Stanford, even though it's in Stanford's backyard, it was only, 50, 60%. So if they fill it up tonight, it's going to be wild here in Las Vegas.
You know, there's a lot of conversation about, you know, best conference in the country, the Big Ten, obviously, the SEC. The underreported thing is that the Pac-12 actually has five teams in the top 25 right now. Do you think the people are sleeping on the Pac-12?
And seven good bowl teams. I wouldn't want to play any of these teams in a bowl game. The bottom three didn't do very well this year, let's be honest. Cal and Colorado and Arizona State. There's a few teams that didn't play well. But this is a good conference, top to mostly bottom, but not all the way through. It's a better conference than people think this year. There have been some years in the past couple of years where it hasn't been the case.
Pete, I looked at went back and looked at some of the highlights from the first game, and USC's offense was fantastic when the game they lost in Utah. Of course, the defense was the opposite. What adjustments do you think SC makes defensively tonight to try and keep Utah's score down?
Well, they kind of figured it out after the Utah game. That was a coming-to-God moment, you know, and then they had a week off to think about it, too, after that. Both these teams are better than they were when they played in Salt Lake City. The Trojans continually are getting better, way better than they were on defense. They're making stops at key times. The turnover number at plus 22 is ridiculous. If you keep that going, you're obviously going to do really well in any game. I think both these teams are better, and you've got a lot of guys playing ball now, like Austin Jones, that weren't playing a lot when they met Utah the first time around. Utah's got the same thing. They got a bunch of guys. Their backup running back Jackson. He didn't play much until after that game either. So the coaches have coached him up. The players have responded well. And both teams are playing their best football of the year. I say that with Utah coming off a loss to Oregon.
Hey, Pete, you've gotten to know Lincoln Riley a little bit this year. What I don't feel like I have as much because he hasn't done as much. We used to do the radio show. We'd interview him and all that. Like, what is his persona like when he walks around campus and just in your meetings with him?
Yeah, I'm just not there very much. Sorry to say, they kicked us out of practice other than stretching, and we can go in afterwards and do the interviews, but I can watch those on YouTube. So I really don't have much of a relationship with him other than what I see on interviews, and I get to ask him questions at the end of the post-game show. He seems to be very smart about football. He seems to be a really nice guy who knows what he's doing, and he answers your questions without evading them. He may not like your questions that you ask, but he answers all of them, and he seems to smile when he does so. He's got a good sense of humor and a good feel for what's going on, media-wise, fan-wise, and player-wise. He's 40, which to me is a young guy. I like him a lot, and I don't like him just because they're winning football games. I think he's a good fit.
Pete Arbogast is with us, voice of the Trojans, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Momo's here, John's here. The thing I like about Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams, for that matter, and this team altogether, is that they've got swagger. Like, this team has got some swagger. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't until after Utah, after the loss. They maybe pretended to a little bit, but after that, they got to play Arizona and Cal, and they were tough games, and they had to outscore the other guy. Then Colorado, that really doesn't count. But going into UCLA, I felt what you just said was true, that they felt like they had found themselves, they were going to get healthy again and be the best that they could be. And I think they did that against both UCLA and Notre Dame, and they're ready to do that here tonight.
Pete, when you think about the playoff, if they're fortunate enough to win tonight, do they match up better with one team than any other? If it turns out to be Georgia, Michigan, TCU, SC, is there a team you'd like to see them play?
Well, I'd rather play Michigan. It's a traditional Big Ten, Pac-12 rivalry. Yeah. It would be closer to home. We have a thing for Harbaugh stuck in our craw a little bit after the What's Your Deal game with Pete a few years ago.
Right.
And knowing what Georgia did to Oregon, it may be best if we avoid them, but I don't know that we can unless Kansas State comes out with a great win against TCU tomorrow.
Do you think it's possible that we have that the Trojans have an impressive win? TCU maybe doesn't win as impressively, and USD still has a shot at third in the college football playoff ranking.
Not if they don't lose.
You don't think so?
I think it stays. If all four teams win, I think they stay just where they are.
Okay.
But if one of them were to spit the bit, remember Michigan damn near lost to Illinois, and TCU should have lost to Baylor. So
yep.
it's not a fait accompli. Although you're not playing at the other guy's place. So that probably helps the teams that are higher ranked. Kansas State has the best chance of those, obviously, because Purdue's a 16-point dog. But
exactly.
Kansas State led that game like Oregon led Oregon State last week and just spit it out completely at the end of the game.
Last thing for you. How do you think this game plays out tonight?
Same as all of them. A bunch of points for us and a bunch of points for them. and probably a win. Because SC's defense is good enough to get a key stop now and then, and if the turnover numbers are even or better for USC, they'll probably have enough stops to win the game. I'm thinking 35-30, something around there.
Okay. Hey, listen, Pete, thank you very much for doing this. I let you know that Pete calls the games over on 790 KBC, so if you want to hear the call of the game, it's over there. We appreciate you taking a minute to come on our show today. We will be watching tonight, man.
Thanks, guys. Love your show. Listen, I've listened forever, as you know, and it's been far too long. I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks. There's Pete Arbogast, voice of the Trojans. I feel like this is a game they can win. One of the little nuggets that has come out in the last couple of days is that Cam Rising, the Utah quarterback, isn't as healthy as he was the last time those two teams met. Remember, they won on a two-point conversion from Cam Rising. He may be a little bit dinged up and may not be able to do what he did in the first game. That's a little bit of hope on the part of the Trojans, because I'll tell you, Utah is a really good team. Really good team. So it's going to be a battle.
They still have that tight end who had like a million catches last game.
Yeah. So, Ireland, before we turn things over to basketball, so tonight it's Anthony Davis, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. What does that matchup look like?
Well, last year, Giannis played better in the two games against the Lakers than any one individual player I've ever seen in the whole time been working for him. In the first game, he had 47 points on 17 of 20 shooting.
Whew.
And in the second game, he had 44 points on 18 of 23 shooting.
Gosh.
So he scored 91 points in two games, and he shot 82%.
82%.
Yeah, that's the best I've ever seen anybody do against the Lakers. So they've got to find a way to slow him down. If they do, they've got a chance. But if he plays like that, good night.
It'll be interesting. So now, tonight, of course, you got to switch back and forth between the two games, and hopefully I'm curious from you, John. Stephen A. is doing one of his primary or secondary channel games tonight for ESPN.
Right.
He's got a bunch of guys. I think Travis Kelce and Shaq. And are you into these secondary channel games, the second window experience?
I'm
like
not.
The Manning Cast?
Just because I never have. Well, the Manning Cast is the only one I watch. If those guys are on, I'll watch the Monday night Manning Cast. But you know, for most other games, I'm either working or I can't hear them. I think they're starting to get tired.
Yeah, me too.
Because so many people are doing them. But you know, so obviously I'm going to be working this game, so I can't hear it. But is he doing it in conjunction with anything or no?
He's doing it on ESPN2.
For this game?
For the Lakers Bucks game?
For the Lakers Bucks game, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He's doing that tonight.
Yeah, you got a lot of options if you're a fan. You got a USC game, you got Lakers,
I'm just a traditional. I don't like the second screen.
Well, I actually don't either. I'm over the second screen.
I never liked it. I want to just watch the game and
obviously, but I'm done with the Manning Cast too.
If you watch the game, are you going to watch it on ESPN or on Spectrum?
I tend to watch it on Spectrum.
Me too.
Why?
I like Billy Mack and Stu.
Yeah, me too.
Because Sedano is, it's really a choice between Sedano and Trudell.
Sedano's
doing sidelines for the ESPN game, and Trudell is doing sidelines for the Spectrum game.
For ESPN.
No,
I always watch the Spectrum game
Spectrum.
Because I like the broadcast crew, but I also like the locker room interviews and I like all the pre and post game stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Lakers fan. I want the home team broadcast. I watch Billy Mack and Stu, and I love the pregame and the postgame is
post-game's
awesome.
Essential.
I love Worthy on the postgame.
Yeah.
You got to watch that.
Yeah, well, tonight you got to flip around too. I mean, Mace, you're probably going to be glued to the SC game,
but that's it.
Y'all got to support Trudell, man. You got to support Trudell.
Yeah.
He's been around long.
Hey,
he's got seniority. Yes, Sedano's he's a gate crasher. He's a squatter.
Oh. Did you guys bump into Sedano there?
Yeah, we
saw him downstairs. Yes, he's sporting a very festive red turtleneck.
It looks nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's excellent. That's going to wrap it up. I'm going to wrap up the show here, guys. I know we got a lot of people on the air. We are back tomorrow at 1 o'clock, me and Momo. You can hear Monday with Momo. You can hear Lakers versus Bucks right here on 710 ESPN, pregame in moments. And, of course, the USC game is on tonight. Fight on, Rams on Sunday, big weekend. We got it all for you Monday at 1, 710 ESPN.